And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am the White Ranger, Michael, being joined by our Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
The White Ranger.
Hey, you want to know something? We actually had on the last episode with Sasha, where we're doing the Zed Smash and all those other ones. We actually had to get confirmation.
Last episode with Sasha would have been your vice versa, mirror regret and not a ranger.
In recording order
sequence. Okay.
In recording order sequence, we actually had to text message Brian and go, am I the White Ranger now?
So, spoiler alert, folks. Since Mike's pulled the curtain back a little bit, we record these out of order. And I just want you all to know that these three episodes here were the first three episodes I watched of season two that involve the new Rangers, Rocky, Adam, and Aisha. So let me point out that Rocky just wants to have fun was the first exposure to Rocky and Adam and Aisha I had in this watch. This is the second time I've watched season two. I have watched it once before, but not the greatest exposure to these guys.
Which is a shame because, like, we were just talking before we hit the record button. Mm-hmm. The first three episodes post power transfer is really Adam centric. And yeah. We also know how much you love Adam.
I do love Adam. It's not so much that I love Adam, it's that I think Adam doesn't get the credit he deserves. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. So with that, we're doing Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun, Lights, Camera, Action, and When There's Smoke, There's Fire.
Yeah, we are.
So we're going to hop right on into it with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through of Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun, which we begin at the youth center where Ernie gets a new Machinko machine.
Rocky, new what?
Machinko, Plinko.
Pachinko. It's a very specific thing, my dude.
Machinko machine. Rocky tries it for 1 second and calls it fun. It's like me grabbing a hockey stick and saying playing hockey is fun, except I didn't play the actual game. Zed casts a spell on the machine and Rocky is having too much fun now. Oh, hey, Serpentera, how you doing? Skull believes Ernie is a Power Ranger. Rocky's student arrives and he blows her off. Billy tells the others about Rocky's attitude. And then Zed sends putties down to attack them. Zordon informs Rocky and he's being a jerk about it. But then he decides to go anyways. The others defeat the putties while Rocky is playing on the monkey bars. Zed turns the pachinko machine into a monster and the Rangers morph into action. However, the monster turns Aisha, Kimberly, and Billy into the balls. Adam tries to stop the monster, but him and Rocky are then turned into balls as well. Tommy distracts the monster to collect the balls and teleport back to the command center. Tommy returns to action, and Zed makes the monster grow White Tiger Zord time. This is also one of the few times where we actually see the White Ranger and a monster in the Die Ranger Sentai footage. Alpha revives Rocky and breaks the spell. Rocky morphs into action and calls upon his Zord, and then Alpha then revives the other four. They now morph into action, Thunder Megazord time, and defeat the monster. Meanwhile, Serpentera arrives to attack the Rangers. Tor arrives to save the day, and Serpentera loses power once again. At the youth center, Ernie kills Skull's theory that he is a Power Ranger. And that is the quick run through of Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun.
Or, as I like to call this episode, Steve Cardenas' Oscar film. Because, boy howdy, is his acting bad in this one. Like, real bad. So, first thing I want to know, right? I've not been to American high school. I was schooled in England, stuff like that. And I know they say that the class they are in is an quote unquote advanced math class, right?
Yeah.
But they're studying for a test where the answer is 10 to the 26th power times x squared, right?
Yeah.
That was in basic math in my school. That sort of question was in basic math in my school. Just figured I'd point that out. I love the fact that because they had to use the pachinko machine because of the monster later, right?
Yeah.
And pachinko is such a big thing in Japan compared to the States. They had to take a full, like, 45-ish seconds of the episode, of like, a 19-minute episode, to explain what pachinko is. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Ernie and Billy take, like, 45 seconds to explain, well, this is what pachinko is. Right? I know I'm going to be making fun of Steve Cardenas' acting a lot, but the way he delivers the line, this is fun. But considering this is a Rocky-centric episode, his acting is particularly awful here, right?
And not only that, but it really doesn't develop his character.
No, it doesn't at all.
It's not like the previous three where they actually developed Adam a bit.
Yeah. And then... it says... Zed's on the moon and they're doing all the stuff and he's like, all I have to do is cast my spell and Rocky will become a mindless earthling. I have some bad news for you, Zed. Rocky isn't exactly a brain surgeon here. Like, of the Rangers, Rocky might be the stupidest. Right? And I don't mean that as a shot, right? Considering all of the Rangers are pretty clever and it's shown he's in an advanced math class, but of the Rangers, Rocky might be the least intelligent, right?
Did we ever have that with the original six before the new three came in?
It was implied, I think, that Zach and Jason weren't as brainiac as the other two because their skills lay in other places. Like, Zach had a personality unlike most of the Rangers, and Jason's focus was on his sports, right? Like that's the inference that you're supposed to take, but it was never really confirmed. But it's not really confirmed here. It's just me pointing out that Rocky's not the sharpest katana in the sheath, right? Like,
yeah.
So Billy says we really need to get back to the books after not only having said that they would have no problem acing the quiz, but Rocky saying that it was just in time for him to teach class. So why do they have to get back to the books? The study session is over. Then we get more Oscar-worthy acting from Mr. Carnatus. So Serpentera flies past the moon. Probably in search of some batteries or something, because its hamster's fallen off the wheel. And I know I say this every time Serpentera shows up, right? But if Serpentera has energy reserve issues, don't have it idling somewhere, right? If your car is idling, it's still using gas, right? Just park it somewhere. Like, park it on the moon. Leave it there for like 6 months. And then just blow up Earth. Come on, Zed.
Yep.
Though in this episode, Serpentera is getting a day trip to Earth, so that's fun for it. Maybe it can get some, like, Mickey Mouse ears or something. Go study, Brainiac. I'm having fun. Daniel Day Cardenas strikes again.
See what you did there.
So it should be noted that they're showing Rocky obsessively playing this pachinko machine, right? So, and in the close-ups of the machine,
right,
the ball output tray is completely full of balls to the point where it's nearly overflowing, right?
Yeah.
But when it cuts to the wide shot,
it's virtually empty.
It's completely empty. There's no balls. There isn't even any balls moving through the playing field of the pachinko machine. It's just Rocky doing, turning the handle and doing nothing. And there's there's nothing else going on. Also, it should be noted that pachinko isn't really a game of skill, right? It's, in essence, a game based on randomness, right? So for Rocky to reliably be getting so many extra balls out of the pachinko machine, homeboy should be buying a lottery ticket. Like, in order to get that many balls out of a pachinko machine, you need to be able to manipulate RNG, right? You need to be able to tell the balls where to go, right? So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is that's not how pachinko works, okay?
Ooh, a spin on this.
Well, I mean, it is science, right? Because it's gravity, yeah, right? But it's more like that's not how chaos theory works.
Yeah, I mean, but could you argue the fact that because Zed put a spell on the machine and to keep Rocky occupied with the whole having fun, that he's also manipulating the game?
You could, but again, that's not science, that's magic.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't work because he wanders off, starts playing other games.
Yeah.
So what you would do is you'd enchant it so he can't play other games, right? Then you make him poor as well. Even though he doesn't seem to have to put money in it to play the pachinko machine.
And you don't have to put money to play the arcade games either.
Yeah. How does Ernie's make money again?
Luck.
Yeah. Is Ernie's a front for laundering money?
Maybe.
I think we're going to have to investigate this, Mike.
We'll get our lab coats on later.
Right. So then Bulk and Skull show up, right? And Skull breaks down this idea that he's got that Ernie's a Power Ranger. And in there, he makes a joke and goes, I made a pie chart, and points at a box full of pies. And Bulk looks in the box of pies and then yeets the box of cries across the room. And all I'm thinking is, Bulk would not yeet a box full of pies. Bulk would eat the box full of pies. He's Bulk.
Makes you believe that there really was a box of pies that were really charts.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he did have a disappointed look on his face when he looked inside the box.
He did. He did. And then Bulk says something about every time there's been a monster attack on Angel Grove, Ernie's had the day off, which is demonstrably false. It's absolutely demonstrably false. But that's kind of the point, right? Like, so the young child actor turns up, and predictably is a really bad actor, but still better than Steve Cardenas. Also, I'd like to point out, 4 minutes, 45 seconds into the episode, first appearance on screen of Adam, the greatest Power Ranger of all time. Just needs to be noted. This is not soon enough. Adam should be on screen earlier in every episode. So then at the park with Rocky, Adam, Aisha, Tommy, and Kim.
Yeah.
And Tommy catches a frisbee. And Aisha says, that was awesome. And I say, no, it wasn't. All he did was catch a frisbee.
Now, if it was me catching the frisbee, that would be awesome because I missed the frisbee 9 times out of 10. Because
you were about as coordinated as a rubber band. And then I have a note that the party show up, right? And they appear on the swing set. They appear on the child playground thing, and they do the wave. And I just have a note that, like, the parties are doing the wave, and I'm kind of here for it. And then I have another note. This is, it's amazing how my note taking goes down when Rocky's not on screen. And then I made a realization, right? That swing set that they fight the putties in and around, right? That where Rocky does the monkey bars and everything.
Yeah.
There are a lot of unmorphed fights in season 2 in and around that playground set. There are a lot of them. It's in nearly every episode. At least the ones I've covered.
Yeah. I mean, I know they did a lot with that. A lot of it are just in the park in general.
No, but that specific thing with, like, the slide and... Because, like, Richie and Curtis get caught on it in one of the earlier episodes I did. And then there's another fight there. And it's just, there's a lot that's going on in that, that goes in and around that, like, sand pit playground area. So a lot of fights that take place there. It makes me think they just had a day booked out to film all the unmorphed fights. And they just did it all in one location and just changed outfits every now and again.
Yeah.
And then I say Rocky is back and his acting is on point as always. Okay, I'll stop. I promise. And then I say, oh, what a surprise. Only Tommy is left to face the monster on his own. Shock, horror. That's predictable because Tommy's the greatest thing to ever happen.
Well, and it's like, because I know this, I think this was also because of a Sentai footage usage.
Kind of the point, right? Like, they've refilmed stuff before, and like, and they clearly had the pachinko head costume. Monster.
Yeah,
because they filmed them unmorphed with it.
Yeah, but like when they do the one-on-one stuff, especially going into the Zord battle with the white,
it's Tiger just Zord. Become really obvious for me. Spoiler alert for the while we're making our notes on season two, I'm making my way through Power Rangers Samurai for the first time. And it's becoming more and more obvious to me when things aren't lining up, if that makes any sense. But because with Samurai, you have this weird disconnect between Samurai and Shinkenger, where in Shinkenger, the Red Ranger being the focus makes the sense because of how Shinkenger is set up. But yet in Samurai, it doesn't make sense, but yet he's still the focus. And it's very clear to me that the same thing's happening with Tommy in certain pieces of footage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it gets kind of weirder when we go into season three, because that's when, like, you don't even see the Sentai suits for those Rangers until the last 10 episodes of the season with the Alien Rangers.
Yeah. But you do get the Power Rangers specific ninja suits, right? Were those Power Rangers specific?
I believe so. And that's actually one of the biggest reasons why, like, the Power Rangers movie is not considered part of season two. It's its own standalone, because it was supposed to be a feeder into season three.
And then they just redid it with the first.
They just redid it. That's
anyway. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So then, like, they cut to the command center, and Alpha's like, "Oh, I just know something bad has happened." And I'm like, "Don't you have sensors and like a viewing globe that's like omnipresent at all other times in the season? Like, you can see everything." And then Alpha wants a diagnostic scan, right? And he's like, "I will run a diagnostic scan on Rocky." And I just wanted him to follow up with, "He's a ball," which I just found, for some reason in my brain, I would have found really amusing. It is also worth noting that even though it's a little bit of a trope, this fight with Pachinko Head is the first time that the Rangers get turned into something inanimate, which is quite interesting. They just get turned into balls.
Because in the past, they've been like eaten.
Yeah, or like turned into like birds or whatever, I don't know. But the point being, like, they get turned into like inanimate metal balls, which Rocky and the monster then start kicking, which can't have been good for their feet. I have a note that we're 14 episodes since White Light, and yet this episode is still deifying Tommy. It's still, but again, that, as we've covered, is a limitation of the Sentai footage, unfortunately. Because if I remember, in Die Ranger, the White Ranger isn't around for that long, so they get the most out of him while they can. That would have to be a question for Brian, I guess.
I'd have to remember. I actually have seen the entire season of Die Ranger, but I definitely know that he's definitely introduced a little later on.
Yeah.
But he does become a regular as...
Right. I just seem to remember there was a storyline about him losing his powers. Maybe it doesn't go through. I don't know. It's been a long time since I watched Die Ranger. And I was probably very half asleep watching it on Shout Factory on a Sunday morning. Aisha also gets a bit of a run for an Oscar in this episode, but we'll get back to that, Miss Karen Ashley. Oh boy, will we get back to that. Alpha solves the problem with more power. Who knew Alpha was being played by Tim Allen? Very, very simple Thunder Megazord fight. It's literally, they lock up like collar and elbow style for like 10 seconds, and then it's like pose, punch, finishing move. Right? That's it. Like, and then Serpentera shows up and reuses a bunch of footage from the power transfer with a different colored filter on it. All the Tor footage where he's stepping on Tor is absolutely just the same footage from the power transfer. Just not orange because the world's not ending, I guess. And here's the thing about Serpentera, right? And this is probably because I'm coming to it as an adult, right? And when Serpentera first showed up, you're like, ooh, hello, Biggin, right?
Yeah, especially with how big it was compared to the other Zords.
Right. But then it just becomes kind of a joke, right? You never take it seriously.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things, if I remember right, in the Sentai for Die Ranger, the Serpentera wasn't a Zord. It was actually a monster of its own, and I think it struck a deal and it left. Or something like
from
that.
From what I remember about Serpentera,
I'll look that up.
It's been again. I'm going off of off very old old knowledge from Die Ranger. But like he was like some kind of universal balance. Like he was supposed to keep the balance between good and evil, and if it tipped one way or the other, he'd show up and threaten to destroy everything. Anyway, but the point being, in Power Rangers, right, after the first time he shows up, he's just kind of a joke, right? I made the joke earlier about he's like, oh, he's going off to find some AA batteries because his Amson's fallen off the wheel, right? But that's not, it's not wrong, right? Like, by this point, Serpentera was just a joke. And it sucks because it's fun. Serpentera's good.
Okay, so here's the official thing. It's right. Daijin Ryu is its name, also known as the Great God Dragon, is a giant dragon who was created by the universe to preserve the natural balance of the cosmos. According to the cameo, the reason for his appearance is to stop the human race's foolish conflict by destroying the Earth. Because of his neutral standpoint, he will kill anyone innocent or guilty if he deems them a threat to the universal balance.
Yeah. But the point, we're talking about Power Rangers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, Serpentera is just kind of a joke at this point. And it sucks because Serpentera shouldn't have been a joke. It should have been this constant threat that wasn't just let down by the fact it ran off like Goldar running on a wheel, right? Or Squat and Babu's farts or something, right? But yeah, that's kind of my notes for Rocky Wants to Have Fun, aka Steve Cardenius's acting Oscar reel.
All righty. And so with that, now it is time for lights, camera, action. And it's, once again, everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through of the episode. And we begin at Angel Grove High School as Aisha talks about television. Miss Appleby informs us that the Rangers will be on television later that day and that the class will talk about it the next morning. Adam is nervous about being on TV. He's afraid. But the others say, hey, don't worry about it. They're not going to know it's actually you. Zed looks to stop the Power Rangers. Goldar and the Putties go to attack the Rangers, and the Rangers morph into action and defeat them. At the TV studio, the crowd is excited for the Power Rangers. A, how did they get that footage? Were there always cameras around filming the Rangers in the cinematic style? And B, how did the host know how to call them the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Anyways, the Rangers come on set to much fanfare. The Rangers promote education. After some clips and a stunt, Zed creates a monster. Alpha alerts the Rangers and they leave the show. At the command center, Zordon briefs the Rangers on Zed's camera monster. Rangers get into action as they fight the Putties. Goldar joins the battle to fight the White Ranger. Zed makes the monster grow and it's Thunder Megazord time and they win. Back at school, Miss Appleby reads a letter from Jason, Trini, and Zach to end the episode.
Lights, camera, action. AKA, what a waste of an episode. I'm going to need you to do something for me, Mike. I know you stopped doing this, but I need you to look up how long this episode was.
All right. Looking it up right now.
Okay. So, we open in Angel Grove High with Aisha presenting a thing that's like the history of TV or something. And I'm pretty sure at this point, this is like the fourth or fifth time someone's done a history of .. thing to open an episode, right? Because it's just a really easy, lazy way to establish a theme, right? Like, have them talk about it in school, and then the adventure will be based on it, right? This is really lazy.
All right, this episode is 21 minutes.
21 minutes. So we can say, like, opening credits is... And I can tell this because I've skipped a lot of them on the DVD recently, is a minute and 10, and closing credits is about 2 minutes. So we can say it's about 18 minutes of an episode, right?
Yeah.
Aisha was doing this report, and I'm guessing the implication was that there was more to the report that we didn't see, right?
Yeah.
But her report was just saying a couple of lines and then playing a tape of someone else explaining TV that she clearly taped off like the Discovery Channel or something, right? How was that wonderful? The teacher called it a wonderful presentation. Again, I'm guessing the inference is supposed to be there's more of a presentation, but there's no evidence of that, right? There's no like extra stuff in the background or stuff written on the whiteboard or any of that. It's just, if I'd have presented like two lines and something I taped off the TV as a presentation in school, I'd have had detention for a month and failed the class. Right? Because they'd have been like, you didn't even try, mate. It's literally the equivalent, right, of going second when you're doing all your presentations. You know how you like you go in order, right? It's the equivalent of walking up and going, what the dude before me said, and then sitting down. Right? It's just... Also... Check out the TV they're using, man.
A TV is definitely from like the 50s or something.
That TV is from the 50s. Angel Grove High School can afford a gym. They can afford to do like quad bike racing. They can afford to have like bowling teams. They can afford to like do all this stuff, but they can't afford a modern TV.
I don't want to say that it's something that they couldn't afford, but maybe it was something that was done on purpose to show part of the history of television, as I put air quotes up there.
But the problem with that, right, is that that TV is allegedly hooked up to a VCR. That TV wouldn't have the appropriate ports for a VCR. That's not how electrical engineering works. It's not how it works. Can't just plug a VCR into something that doesn't have a plug. It is at this point approximately 3 or so minutes into the episode that we got our first appearance of Adam, the greatest of all time.
Thought Adam was in the class, though.
He was, but like it was just like a kind of, I mean, I guess we could say our first appearance of Adam was in the class, but like he first gets his first real appearance when he's talking about being nervous about being on TV, right? Out of interest, right? Is it commonplace for teachers to dictate what kids watch on TV, or is it just a special occasion because it's the Power Rangers?
So I remember back in elementary school that there would be sometimes like assignments where it's like, oh, you need to watch the news this night. They weren't specific what channel of the news that you had to watch. You just had to watch the news and then like maybe write up some stuff about it for discussion the next day. So there was some type of stuff like that. There was also, I remember, like if they weren't showing Bill Nye the Science Guy in class, they would say, hey, watch today's episode of Bill Nye the Science Guy, because they probably knew like what the episode was about and how it referred to the what they were teaching in the class. So you can have it as discussion the next day. So there was some of that. Yeah,
if they'd have tried that in England, they'd have been a full-on peasant revolt. But yeah, as I said, we get our first real appearance of Adam. I don't think we technically saw him in the class, but I don't know. But our first appearance of Adam, the greatest of all time. And he is being nervous, which is a super nice touch, because his very early arc was all about him kind of having self-confidence issues, really, which is really kind of cool. He's the only one of the three new Rangers that get any form of an arc. Bulk and Skull's plan is pretty good, I guess, except for the whole getting backstage thing. The show just forgets that you can't just get backstage, right? But they do. They missed a great opportunity for a line, right? Because I think it's Rocky and a bunch of other people are walking through the park. I think it's all of them, right? They're walking through the park on the way to the TV station. And Rocky's like, I'm kind of starting to get used to this. I'm starting to like the superhero thing, right? And then the putty show up. And they really missed an opportunity for him to go, or not. Like, and then we get what really stood out to me here is the putty show up and they instantly morphed, right? Like, they didn't even try and fight the putties on their own, right? And I don't know why, because they can handle putties without morphing, right? Yes, they needed to be morphed for the TV show, right? But I don't know why they just instantly morphed when they saw the putties. Unless they just wanted to go easy mode. In that case, why don't they just do that every time they see the parties? Right? Like, and then there's this weird line. I think it was Aisha. He says, why didn't Zordon warn us this time when they got jumped randomly by the parties? And I'm like, he's never warned you before when you've been randomly jumped by parties. So why is he going to warn you this time?
Well, let's give Aisha a little slack here. She is still kind of new to the whole Power Ranger gig.
No, she's not. Like, I'm sorry, but she's not. She's been a Power Ranger for many episodes by this point. Many episodes.
This is the fifth episode.
Yes. That's a lot of episodes.
Fair.
It's not hard to pick up on. Also, that's only the televised adventures of the Power Rangers. It is implied there is more. Then they get to the talk show, right? And I think it is worth noting at this point that the dude playing the talk show host is Kim Strauss, who we will get to know better next season as Ninjor, which is a cool little thing.
If I remember right, I think he was also one of the producers too.
He might have been. And what I found hilarious, right, is they're doing the intro and all the Rangers are doing their various like Carters and stuff to come in. And Kimberly, the Pink Ranger, who is a
gymnast,
is the only one that doesn't hit her mark off her flip. She misses it completely.
Whoopsies.
That's the gymnast that's going to go off the train for the Olympics, people.
You know, all gymnasts make mistakes and miss their marks.
I could sit around and pick holes in the stay in school stuff, right? The whole message of this talk show, but I'm not gonna, because it was aimed at kids, right? That's not what I'm doing, right? I will, however, point holes at the moment where Tommy says every single one of those monsters had some special skill that required us to use our heads. No, it didn't. There are very much times that A, Zordon's the one that tells you what to do. You don't figure it out at all. Or you just brute force the monster and ignore all its special skills completely. Right?
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie, I did laugh at the don't try this at home thing where he tries to kick and falls over. And then he's like, don't try this at home, kids. And I was like, All right, you got me on that one. So Zed shoots a camera with his lightning beam to turn it into a monster. Remember when Zed could only turn it alive things into monsters?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, he shoots a camera with his laser beam, which is in a TV studio, right? And as he shoots it, it like teleports through a couple of walls. Like there's this like sliding thing behind it, and it ends up in the middle of the street to turn into the camera monster. And then, like, again, I didn't talk too much about the talk show segment because it was just a talk show segment, right? And I said I wouldn't poke fun at the whole stay in school thing. But they came, but when they leave and they go and see Zordon and they talk and then they go back and Tommy's like, lights, camera, morph into action. Right?
That was cheesy.
It wasn't cheap. Yes, it was cheesy, but also, right, it was a complete missed out opportunity, right? Because don't they say back to action?
Yeah.
When they go, so shouldn't it be lights, camera, back to action?
Yeah. But I guess they wanted, they find a way to work the word morph into it.
Yeah, but they don't say that, though. When they return to the fighting after being already morphed, they say back to action, not morph back to action.
Yeah.
Right? It stick with your own set up rules, people. It's one of the, again, and I know I've brought this up a couple of times, but since we're doing like the scripted intros to these seasons, I've been having to teach like Mike and Sasha and Brian a few things about scripting. And one of the things is, if you set up a meme, stick with it. Don't change it. And then this is... they morph back into the fight. And, like, you see Rocky and Aisha and Adam and Billy and Kimberly beating up putties. Right? And then there's this wide shot that cuts out. And Tommy's just stood there watching them do it. He's like, yeah, get on with it, peasants. Like, and I know it's because they eventually want to have the White Ranger fight the camera monster. But like, Tommy's just watching the other Rangers fight putties. It's real stupid. And then I'm just like, it's a really simple Megazord fight and this episode is just a waste of everyone's time because 90% of it is a talk show. And we said, what, 18 minutes on the episode of about?
Yeah, about, yeah.
2.5 minutes of the talk show. Fully, like, 1/9 of the runtime.
One ninth
for the runtime is spent showing me footage of Pudgy Pig. It's like a clip show that's not a clip show. Right? At least later seasons when they introduce clip shows, they're a little more blatant about it, right?
Yeah.
It's just a complete waste of an episode. And that's my notes on lights, camera, action.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Ben. It's time for our last ep. It's where there's smoke, there's fire.
I hate this episode.
And it's everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind.
Nothing about this episode is anyone's favorite anything.
Well, this episode specific or just the segment In My Mind?
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Okay.
Nothing to do with this is anyone's favorite anything. He says as his phone explodes in the background because I'm absolutely professional and didn't turn it to silent.
But so it's a quick run through. And we begin at Angel Grove High School where Miss Appleby introduces the most southern sounding firefighter in California, Mr. Firefighter Newman. Newman picked Aisha to be the safety captain, and Zed plans to send a fire-breathing monster to heat up planet Earth. Some Balkan Skull shenanigans actually helps teach a good lesson for fire safety. Good job, Balkan Skull, even though that wasn't your intention. Rocky, Adam, and Tommy are running in the park when putties arrive and they get rid of them. Tommy says he'll return to the youth center to check on Kim, Billy, and Aisha. Zed unleashes his monster and Bulk and Skull see the monster and run into the lake. Tommy, Adam, and Rocky morph into action. And then at the youth center, Billy, Kim, and Aisha see the news and go to the command center. At the command center, Zordon briefs them. Aisha morphs into action because she feels that it's her responsibility because she's the fire captain. and she goes, joins Adam, Rocky, and Tommy. Zordon brings the Rangers back to the command center as Aisha needs a pep talk and needs to remember that she's part of a team and it's not just about her. Billy and Kim now morph into action and join the other four. Zed makes the monster grow, Thunder Megazord time for the victory. And then Aisha apologizes to the team. Ernie brings out a cake to Bulk and Skull's dismay because all of the candles are lit. And that is when there's smoke, there's fire.
AKA, oh God, make it stop. Oh God, make it stop. Okay. My first note here we'll actually talk about after the episode. But we go to... We start again in Angel Grove High in a classroom, taking a class. And this is the only class I can think of, right?
Yep.
Where I haven't seen all six Rangers in the same class. It's only like Kim, Billy, and Aisha.
No, and Adam was there because he was the one who raised his hand to answer the question.
No, he wasn't.
Unless I'm thinking about another episode because...
Adam, Billy, and Tommy show up later because they go jogging to the... The firefighter dude
Newman,
which you make fun of, but firefighters move around the country all the time if they get promoted and stuff.
That's true.
Clearly isn't an actor because he's bad even by like Power Rangers standards, right? So Aisha gets chosen to be fire safety captain and says, I'm so excited, but yet her acting says the opposite.
It's like, I'm so excited.
I'm going to harp on this a lot this episode, and I want you to know that I love Karen Ashley as a person. I got to meet her a couple of times at conventions. I worked with her a bunch. She's a really nice person. But in this episode, she can't act. It is awful. It makes Rocky just wants to have fun actually look like my left foot, right? It makes it look like the Shawshank Redemption. And this episode kind of underlines a problem with Rocky and Aisha that isn't a problem with Adam. Because as you say, they spent three or so episodes after power transfer actually developing Adam. And he has a long form arc, right, Adam? Whereas Rocky and Aisha don't. All of their supposed quote-unquote character development happens in a single episode, right? And I don't know what character development this is meant to say about with Aisha you get the veterinary stuff later in like season three, right? But that's not really character development. It once again comes out of nowhere, right?
And not only that, but let's also put this into another perspective too.
Yeah.
When you look at Adam compared to Aisha and Rocky,
yeah,
Aisha is gone at the end of season three.
Yeah.
Rocky is gone after the very first episode of Turbo.
Yeah.
And then Adam is there all the way to the end when the midway point of Turbo happens with Tommy.
And so Jason David Frank decides he wants to leave and they just fire the entire cast.
And so like, you could probably do like a way of saying that maybe they knew that Adam was going to be the one that they were going to keep on for a while.
But the point I'm trying to make is, Aisha's never shown any interest in fire safety before this episode. and she's never shown any interest in fire safety after this episode. So her sudden... How do I... I'm trying to think of a PG way of putting this. Her sudden over-enthusiasm for it is jarring, right? And as I said, in my notes, in big capital letters, she's never mentioned it. She's literally never mentioned it before or since. And usually, this much of a wild behavior change would be attributed to a Lord Zedd spell, right? Think about when, like, Tommy started eating a lot, or Rocky got addicted to playing a pachinko machine. Or so usually these swings are done by spells, right? But yet she just does it. And it's weird. And it's jarring. And it doesn't work. And again, that's probably because I'm 42 years old rather than a child. Also, it should be pointed out, she is Angel Grove High School fire safety captain. Why is she, like, patrolling the juice bar and the mall and the library? And people are letting and encouraging her. Yeah. No.
Like, especially, like, when she's, like, hounding Tommy to, like, put up all these flyers all over the place, and, like, and then he comes back after the putty attack, and she's like, she sees it in his back pocket. She's like, yeah. Oh, why do you still have the flyers?
I've actually got a note on that. Yeah. I've actually got a note on that. So stick with me.
Yeah.
5:06:05 We get our first sighting of Adam, the greatest Power Ranger of all time. And it is not soon enough. It should have been sooner. Can you see that I'm starting a thing? So Aisha, like, checks Ernie's kitchen and bar and all this kind of stuff. And when pressed, and, like, Billy says Ernie seems genuinely concerned. And Aisha says, I'm responsible for the safety of everybody here. And I'm like, hey, no, you aren't. You are the high school fire safety captain. And B, you are responsible for everyone here. And you have been since you've been a Power Ranger. What's different? And then we get to the note where Tommy comes back with the stuff in his back pocket. And I say, seriously, in any other episode, Aisha's behavior would be attributed to a spell. She's more concerned that Tommy didn't put the flyers out than Lord Zedd attacking them with putties and possibly a monster. It's no different to Rocky's behavior a few episodes ago. And no one's saying anything. And it's really weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it could be, like, maybe their way of attributing it to, like, people having obsessive behavior without having.
But if it was an obsessive and.
But again, it's been done multiple times, though.
But if it was an obsessive behavior, it would still be an obsession after the episode. And it would have been an obsession before, right? That's not how psychological science works, right? You don't just become obsessed with something and then drop it. That's why it's called obsession, right? We didn't just become obsessed with Power Rangers and then not be obsessed with Power Rangers anymore. If anything, I'm getting more obsessed with Power Rangers because I've started buying the goddamn figures, right? Like, and then what is the name of the monster in this episode? Firehead or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like Firehead or something. It wasn't... I think it was, like, mentioned only one time.
Flamehead.
Oh, Flamehead.
Fun fact, Flamehead, voiced by Alex Borstein, aka Lois from Family Guy.
Yeah.
This is weird, and I don't know whether I misread the episode or I missed something or my DVD skipped, but Zed's like, I'm going to turn this barbecue into a monster. And then she shows up and the barbecue's still there, and then she shoots the barbecue. And I'm like, what? Also, Flamehead looks female, is voiced by a female, and has female mannerisms, but everyone's calling it a he. Like, we got to stop him, and he's going to do well, and that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay. Either that's incredibly progressive for the 90s, or someone didn't plan out the script properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then we get to Kim and Aisha and Billy and everyone getting teleported to the command center. And the plan is for Kim and Billy to stay behind while Aisha goes to help Rocky, Adam, and Tommy, right? There's a few problems here, right? Because the reason given for Billy to stay behind is they've got to figure out how to defeat this flame monster. And I'm like, it's a monster that breathes flames. How do you think you're going to stop a monster? Just cover it in water.
Get a fire extinguisher.
Get a fire extinguisher. Call the fire brigade. Job done. If only your Black Ranger had a Zord that turned into the Lion Thunder Zord that breathed ice. Talking about the Master Soul Zord.
Yep.
Also, Billy's like a super genius. What's Kim gonna do? We find out later that what she does is stand around, do nothing, and watches the viewing globe. But my point being, there's a weird moment where Zordon calls Kim, because he usually calls her Kimberly.
Yeah.
It just kind of made me go, what? Again, Aisha's acting is... Whew. I'm going to read you the exact note I've got written down here. No, I'm done. This episode's just god awful. Terrible acting from the focus star, poor scripting, awful lessons, just Power Rangers at its dumbest. We're 3 minutes from the end of the episode and they're still pretending like there isn't going to end with a Megazord fight. Like they need some special chemical compound to put out the fires. Then they come up with some nonsense that's all about fire being stopped by them holding hands. Holding hands doesn't stop fire. That's not how thermal science works. Oh, and it's less than 2 minutes after the hand-holding, there's a minute of forming the Megazord and she's dead. What happened to having to use your brains, Tommy? That was my final note on the episode. I was just like, no, I'm not giving this... I'm not putting any more time or effort into this god-awful episode. I'm not doing it to myself. I won't do it to myself. You can't make me.
All right. Well, with that, we now... I want to end it on a more positive note. So we mentioned that, or you mentioned that Alex Borstein was the voice of Flamehead.
Yeah.
What other characters has she voiced in Power Rangers?
I would expect... Oh, let me think. Let me see if I can recognize any more.
She did three in Mighty Morphin.
Let me see if I can figure it out. I know she was Queen Machina.
Yep, she was Queen Machina for all of Zio.
I think she was Madame Woe.
Yep, she was Madame Woe. There's two more.
Hang on, let me think. Nah, I can't get it.
Bloom of Doom and Lip Syncer.
Okay.
Those are the other characters that she voiced in Power Rangers.
Okay. Now, I said I was going to cover my first note after we finished the episode.
Yep.
And I like to put a little coda on these recording sessions before we do the wrap up. These three episodes are absolutely 100% Power Rangers at its worst. This is whenever anyone makes fun of Power Rangers, right? Everything they always source is at its utmost in these three episodes, right?
Right.
This is Power Rangers, at least Power Rangers Season 2, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 2, at its absolute worst. And that's coming from a dude who's watching Samurai right now. Which, spoiler alert, isn't good. The acting and the scripting and the tropes and the... It's... These three episodes are just... I remember when I was making my notes for Where There's Smoke, There's Fire, just being like, I had to go lay down afterwards. Like, it was exhausting making it through that episode. I don't know.
Yeah. But with that...
An absolute lesson in episodes that didn't need to exist.
Yep, but with that, that was Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun, Lights, Camera, Action, and when Where's There's Smoke, There's Fire.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't usually like to be absolutely negative about something, and I like to try and see the good in things, but literally the only good things I could say about these episodes is Adam was in them. Like,
but yeah, so with that, Black Ranger Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me at
Twitter at Bob T Goldfish.
You can find all of my various and sundry Power Rangers season articles over at
txhdhockey.com/bens-journey.
Can't tell you which ones have come out recently because we record these ahead of time. I'm currently working on writing the Dino Thunder review, which I'm struggling with, to be honest, because I love that season, but there is also a lot of things that I need to get off my chest about one Mr. Thomas Oliver. So much so that just a little look behind the curtain. We have a little thread on Facebook, and someone brought up something about something that happens during Dino Thunder, and I went off for about 10 minutes about Tommy and Kat's relationship. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of that in the Dino Thunder column. Anyway, you can also find this podcast on Twitter at
VFTG_PR.
And you can find me doing all of various and sundry video game shenanigans over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Boom.
And of course, you can find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x95productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and obviously everything on the website, txhthockey.com. Depending on when this episode airs, we're still probably in hockey season. We might be near the playoffs at this point. But
if there is a hockey season.
Yeah.
If everyone's not caught COVID.
Yeah. Well, interesting thing. Last time you and I recorded, which was the previous week, we were getting a lot of COVID cancellations. As of this recording day of 2/17, February 17th, we're actually getting postponements, but because of weather.
Yeah. We actually got a phone call this morning that was like, hey, you're supposed to come see the doctor tomorrow. Can you come today instead? And I was like, maybe.
So weather has been the biggest postponement right now in the NHL. But so we're doing the hockey on txhthockey.com. And obviously for this show specific, txhthockey.com/VFTG. But that, Ben, take us out.
Oh, man. Dear listeners, thank you for sitting with us as we have absolutely buried three episodes of Power Rangers. Hopefully so deep that no one ever unearths them again. Seriously. I'm just going to say that when I finished watching these three episodes to make my notes, I informed my co-hosts that they were welcome because I just face tanked the worst episodes of Power Rangers in the season. That being said, I'm going to round out as we always do. Guys, gals, and non-binary pals. The words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Be excellent to each other. A party on non-gender-specific honorifics.
Until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace!